MZTV.
Yeah, this is on. Oh, yeah, true. I'm sorry, no, you're good. So, you got Salvation Law eventually from Tent Maker and Amaral, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a Tent Maker.
Yeah,
Gary Amaral is a Tent Maker like that. Who wrote Hope Beyond Hell? Gary Bowes. Okay, and then you found Martin Zender Goes to Hell?
Oh, I actually found you before any of the rest of that.
Okay.
Found you before Tent Maker, and then L. Ray Smith probably at the same time.
L. Ray Smith.
Good Salvation Volume.
Right. So you ordered my books, and what did your lovely wife, Regina, think about it? Because you wanted her to believe it.
She didn't like this at all.
No,
I mean, it caused great trouble between me and her, and she refused me to talk to the kids and about it, and I promised her I would be done with it and throw it away, and then
you did.
One of your books came in the mail, and then she yelled at me, okay, and I thought you were done with this stuff, and yelling at me, and so I had to leave. I went to Home Depot.
That's a good place to go. Every guy goes to Home Depot.
You know,
it's better than the doghouse.
She basically ran me out of the house.
She ran you out of the house.
She threw it.
So what happened at that point after he went to Home Depot?
I was cleaning the house, so I had to dump the trash, and there was your book.
Well, why was my book in the trash?
Because I threw it in the trash.
You what?
I threw it in the trash.
And why did you throw my book in the trash?
It wasn't just your book, it was just the book.
Yeah, the whole
time. You hated right, right.
You didn't like your husband looking into this heresy, so you threw my book in the trash.
Right.
Okay, so he saw you do it, he goes off to Home Depot,
right.
Take it from there.
And so I was cleaning the house,
and
so I had to dump the trash, but I don't know what told me to get the book out, but I got the book out and read the book. It was Martin Zender Goes to Hell, that book.
Martin Zender Goes to Hell.
Yep. And, you know, they're little thin books, so it didn't take very long. I was reading them, and by the time he came back, he took quite a while. I'm sure he didn't want to come back. So by the time he came back, I was like, you can keep the book. And he's like, what? And I was like, I got it. It was like a light switch. Came right on.
What kind of shock was that? You coming home thinking you might not have a home.
I don't know what to
do. I'm like, what? I need a drink.
you probably went to Home Depot to get the lumber for a doghouse.
Yeah.
Basically.
Basically.
And then he comes back and she goes, I get it.
It was that quick.
And then I remember when I first met you guys, you showed me that book. It was in the trash.
On the inside.
She actually wrote a little note to me.
She wrote a really sweet note to Waylon in the book.
I love you.
I love you, man.
Something like that. And I think it was July of 2007, I think. Somewhere around there.
That's amazing.
And so I have that book. It's quite worn.
It is worn. Yeah, and it smells like eggshells, too.
Got a little ketchup thing.
Got a little ketchup on it. Got some coffee grounds right on my face, Rachel. What a great story.
Never looked better.
Thank you, sir. So anyway, that's the contribution thing, but that all started with me telling you to take these books. You never know where they're going to go. People put them in the trash and pulled them out of the trash. So you never know. God takes it where he will. So thank you for that. John from Seattle. Come on up here, John. I asked this gentleman to give his testimony. He has an interesting story, and so he's from Seattle, came a long way. I think you win the prize for, did anybody come farther than Seattle to here? No? You win the prize, sir.
All right.
The prize is?
All the books.
All the books. But you have to distribute them all within 24 hours.
Stump it. Right?
Yes, yeah, so you put that in your pocket. Okay. And I'll attach this to you here, and then you're off to the races. Good, Greg?
Yep. So, my name is John. My last name is Gao, because I'm actually originally from China. So, you know, my last name means actually, you know, high, height, whatever. So, but, you know, I'm kind of short. So, that's how probably God wants it. But, you know, anyway, so you know, like I said, originally from China. I grew up there. So I was born in 1969, so almost end of, you know, 69. So when I was grow up, you know, China's actually was in a very kind of unique situation, right? So I think when I was born, you know, only a few years later, the Cultural Revolution, you know, ended, right? So that was a very, I would say from a, you know, from our point of view, it's very, you know, tragic, you know, period of time, right? Communists just, did a lot of sort of foolish things, which basically caused the living condition, you know, the lives of people, is all, a lot of actually got ruined, actually. Because I was born, I was very young, I didn't have much sort of perception, you know, around that time. But I did get a little bit later, because from my parents, especially my dad, right, because both, probably mentioned last night as well, both my parents, they're physics professors at the university. So my dad, you know, from my view, that he had a genius mind for physics, but, you know, when he actually graduated from university, so he actually got into the top research institution of the whole, you know, entire, you know, China, right? But, you know, just the way it was actually back then, because, because remember they classify, you know, you based on, you know, your family ties, you know, who, you know, your family background, all that. So from a religion point of view, they're definitely atheists, right? So even though they're, there's probably people still have, a lot of people still have certain, you know, I wouldn't say certain, but many people still have sort of inclination towards Buddhism, right? I mean, that's basically the tradition, you know, traditional, you know, Chinese culture, the religion, all that. So, but, you know, when I was grew up, it's pure atheist, right? You know, evolution and all that. So that's how I was brought up. Just like any, you know, religion, man, you know, man-made religion or philosophy, whatever, it's hard to find actually like a hardcore believers, you know, in that, right? So because there's always flaws. So for me, actually, I guess always just actually from very, very early on, I was taught of that, you know, obviously I have that kind of training, but I always felt like something, you know, if this life is all that is, something doesn't make sense, right? You know, because I feel like, you know, what's the meaning, right? I mean, you have it and then that's it. So, looking back, it seems like, you know, anything does not have sort of a persistent, right? It really just ultimately doesn't have much purpose and meaning. So that's one thing I always, and another thing always, because obviously you see the, you know, the evil, the injustice all around, right? So that's another thing is basically, if this is all it is, I mean, also it just seems so random and you know, not fair, right? It's basically why someone have, you know, some people have it, some people just don't have it, you know, health, wealth, you know, social status and all that. So that, again, I mean, obviously, you know, everything was, you know, choreographed, you know, by God. So, but this is basically how I was, you know, brought up and raised up. And so, and then there's the first time I was actually had encounter with Christianity and also Bible is when I, I think I was already in college. So there is a bit, after I finished my elementary, you know, starting year of middle school, and then going to, from that point on to my almost like end of high school, during that period of time, my parents, they actually got opportunity to study abroad here in U.S. So I think looking back, I see this also is a way actually probably got used later on for me to at least, you know, in that regard, a little bit more freedom. Just like, hey, you know, you don't have to, you know, listen to the authority. If you need to look deeper, you can actually try to get to the bottom of it. So, you know, that's, you know, looking back, even though obviously it also, I'm sure it's because everything is a two-edged sword, it also caused me a lot of grief actually in life as well. She gave me, a Bible. I don't even know, remember like what version. It may also be both a Chinese or English version. But anyway, So I tried to read it, but I just cannot. So because it just, you know, it seems won't go in. It just like, I can read the words, but it doesn't mean anything. So and so I started actually get my bachelor degree in physics, and then I also went on to get my master's degree in electrical engineer. That was all in Iowa. And then after that, I got a job at, you know, doing programming at a financial company. So that was in Des Moines, Iowa. So I worked there for 2 years. And then, you know, the family moved because that time, you know, we moved actually family to Seattle. That's in 1997. So after we moved to Seattle, because we don't know anybody there, so that's why there's some mutual friends, Chinese friends. They introduced, you know, us to some friends actually in Seattle. They happen to belong to a Chinese church. So that's actually, that's a second time we're actually, at least myself, you know, introduced to the Christianity and all that. So, and then, and you know, because, you know, there's friends, right? You know, we become friends first, obviously. Then it's much easier to have, conversation and all that. And actually, it was my wife, you know, she actually first, you know, just, you know, through, different things and different events. So she actually first, you know, believed the, you know, whatever the message. And she, you know, confessed, you know, accepted and, you know, Jesus and also baptized, right? So I, you know, came along a little later. I think mainly I was just, you know, trying to, I don't think, you know, that time I'm looking back actually, I think I wasn't actually very, you know, kind of, you know, really, really kind of into or believe, you know, all that system. But just because I came along, so I was also, you know, baptized and all that. So after that, I, you know, one thing that does actually was different actually from this time for me is, I do started to, you know, since I started actually to register, I mean, you know, whether, you know, just compared to the first time. So I started to, I was able to read the Bible a little more in those, you know, certain, you know, sort of supporting materials. I was able to read a little bit more. I was able to enjoy that. That actually led to another sort of a change of the event is, there's actually another, it's a friend of mine, like he also belongs to the same church. So he actually introduced me to a radio program. It's called Open Forum. It's actually, it's hosted by a guy called, you know, Harold Camping. I don't know if, I looks like, now actually I talked to people, but not looks like none of you heard of that. So they, he's the founder of an organization called Family Radio. So he used to be an elder at a church. So Family Radio, that's a kind of a in, more of a just an independent organization, just purely just to broadcast and preach the gospel. His background is, I think, is from a Reformed theology. So from that background. So he has a show called Open Forum. I forgot it almost like every day, you know, at a certain time. So, and right away I was drawn to that because, you know, commute back and forth from, you know, from work, I would listen to that. And then, you know, obviously have a website and all that. So I you know, he has books and all that. So I read a lot of, you know, a lot of his book. You know, he's very famous or infamous, if you want to call it. He has this book called 1994, right? So he's also, you know, very... he's good actually in the prophecy and all that. So, you know, numbers, you know, all that. So he has a first, you know, book saying, hey, maybe the, you know, Christ would return on 1994, right? So even though he put a question mark on that. So, but anyway, so the key things that I look back, so the key thing actually I learned also, you know, obviously God actually graciously granted me that time was he's very convinced about the authority of the Bible, right? So that's the thing, because you can tell right away he's fully convinced and fully sure about the authority of the Bible, right? So he said, hey, you know, just, you know, has to be, and if anything, you know, has that's based on our authority. So that's the thing actually, you know, God actually granted. So from that point on, I always think, hey, if anything, you know, if we have to decide our faith, right, it has to be on Bible and Bible alone, right? But obviously, that time I have no idea because, you know, obviously he's also the proponent of the King James Version, right? So then that also, you know, I was bought into that as well. So, you know, obviously that time I have no idea that, you know, King James Bible itself, even though from very early on I know it's, you know, I know some people claim that King James Bible is inspired, but from very early on I know it's not because I know there's mistranslations, there's no something like that. But that time I was, you know, convinced that King James Bible is the best version, you know, best version out there, best translation. So, so after that, then because of the Reformed theology, right? So God's sovereignty, you know, justification by faith is very, very big. So that was, you know, I was very early on, you know, so that, and also I look at the verse, right? So they are, you know, they're very, you know, they back it up, you know, by the verse. So I was, you know, very early on, I was fully convinced of the God's sovereignty, right? Romans 9. So that, I mean, to me, that's, you know, settled. And then justification by faith. So then with that, the interesting thing is because, and while I was doing that, you know, obviously my wife actually plugged it right into, you know, into the church and, you know, the, all that. So, and then what happens is, so even that Reformed theology, obviously, it does not actually align well with, you know, the churches actually were going at that time. It's a Chinese, you know, they call it Chinese evangelical church. But they are more of, hey, you have to, you know, altar call, you have to make confession, you know, all that. So to me, I think, you know, at that time, you know, to me, it does not like, align with the Reformed, you know, basically, hey, is, you know, purely by faith, right? You know, that means, you know, God has to save you. I mean, you're not, you know. And that time I was also even because of the, you know, because I know God actually had, you know, all the salvation is God's sovereign, right? So that means, but because also I believe that, hey, because there is a hell, right? There's people, some people will not be saved, right? So that means God cannot love everybody, right? So and because that's basically, and also obviously then when you see verse saying, hey, you know, God, you know, hate the, you know, the work of iniquity, right? So, the, so that's basically the main contention, you know, and also just basically what the gospel is, right? So I have contention, obviously, with my wife, obviously, and then with even, you know, also with the people at the church as well. And then later, so the, you know, Mr. Camping, right? He started teaching that, hey, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, you need, you know, if you're a true believer, you need to get out of the church, right? Because, you know, church is always going to be dead. You know, church is all dead and all that because they're run. Because his most interpretation is very, you know, spiritualization. So, you know, he's saying, hey, the church is the new Israel, right? That's basically, you know, that's why, you know, so in Revelation, right? Hey, come out of her, my people, right? That's basically saying, hey, that's actually talking to you and, you know, you and me, you know, as, you know, believers, right? So you need to get out of the church, right? So church is the, you know, the I guess, you know, the whore, you know, the woman, right? You know, in Revelation. So, so even though, I mean, basically he can say, hey, every church, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, every church, you know, is dead, right? So, you know, God's judgment is on, you know, on the churches, right? So you need to get out. So at that time, because I already remember, because there's, I guess, looking back, is that everything is obviously, you see there's a reason. Because even before that, because I have conflict with, obviously, my wife, and also with the church, right? Whatever they're teaching, right? It's because I'm actually fully bought with the Reformed theology, right? So you can see, essentially, I'm probably more on maybe on the Calvinism side, and the church is fully on the Arminian side, right? So those two sides will never coexist, right? So obviously, each side will say, "Hey, you know that, you know that's not correct, or whatever." So when actually Mr. Campion started teaching that, "Hey, you have to leave the church," so that means I already saw, you know, essentially from my view, "Hey, you know, the church is really actually in a bad shape, right?" Because you know, they're, I mean, not only that, just because even people, you know, when they, the way actually, but essentially the people's attitude towards the Word of God, right? Because even, you know, to me, that they, even though they say, you know, that's authority, but I don't think, you know, in practice, that's actually being practiced, right? So that's why, so when he started teaching that you have to get out of your church, so that actually, you know, even though I'm actually not fully agree with all his actually sort of a reason, but I felt like actually, hey, I also need the probably to stop going there. So I obviously struggled. I know it's probably it's going to be a bomb actually in the family. So, but eventually I did. Obviously, then that caused a great actually contention in the family. So then I just stopped going to church, and then I, you know, tried to listen, but still I couldn't. There's still something I couldn't actually get, you know, get a full, you know, apprehension. Because yeah, I mentioned to most of you that, because from my background, I'm very technical. I always want to go deep. I want to get to the bottom, because then I can see, hey, how, you know, how everything actually fits, right? So even though I understand God's sovereignty, I understand salvation is all God's, you know, it's faith alone. But I just couldn't actually figure out actually, you know, then why some of the people, you know, will end up with, you know, with hell. I mean, essentially God wouldn't grant them faith, right? So that's always something kind of like, I couldn't actually, I don't think actually I fully articulated, you know, my kind of question, but looking back, I think there's something is, you know, that never sits well with me. So, that also caused me also wondering, because, you know, even though I stopped, you know, going to church, but then obviously I'm, you know, I'm just basically myself, you know, because that organization, I also listened to that, but still a lot of, you know, not a question, so it wasn't actually fully answered. And because I don't go to church, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of contention with my family, because I have three kids. Obviously, all the wife and the kids, they all going to the church, so they have same. So this actually, I mean, caused a lot of, you know, definitely grief on everyone. I mean, especially myself. So obviously then, you know, I also have my own issues. I think about it because from middle school to high school, I don't have my parents with me. So then, you know, obviously there's a, you know, freedom in that regard, but also at the same time, there's a whole slew of bad habits probably also accumulated as well. So, that's why, you know, it probably also did a lot of, you know, sort of bad things as well. So eventually, you know, things blew up and caused actually, a separation between me and my wife. That was 6 years ago, 2016. So, yeah, I mean, it started in 2016 and eventually, you know, I was trying to work out, but and you know, nothing we tried actually didn't work. So finally in 2017, so I moved out. And after I moved out, you know, obviously that's probably the, right now looking back, that's probably the lowest point of my life. So I was myself by myself, right? Obviously, you know, my wife was, you know, very mad at me, you know, obviously, for good reason. You know, it's not just actually our faith has, you know, big differences, but obviously, and just from a normal kind of a practical life point of view, right, you know, there's also a lot of, you know, bad baggage, you know, myself and, you know, her too. So, and then she, you know, she and the kids stay in the house. So I actually, you know, that time, you know, lived in an apartment. So, and, you know, by myself, and then later, you know, I think 2017, and then later I also realized, hey, you know, this company I was working for that time, they actually moved the headquarters to Denver, right? So obviously there's an option for me to go to Denver, but I wasn't ready actually to leave and then just totally just to detach from, you know, my wife and, you know, kids. So that's why I said, no, I'm not gonna, so I have to also find a job. So that's actually all happened in 2017. Obviously by God's grace. So, I mean, even that, because my, I don't think my, you know, sort of my my face is probably always there to say, hey, I know the Bible is the Word of God, so I always have that. But it's, you know, and then I was trying to get back a little bit more, right? And then this is actually that's another kind of a influential person, you know, in my life is. His name is actually Zin Yi. He's a Korean American. So I actually listened to him. I never met him before before that time. So I listened to him actually while I was listening to family radio, like you know, Mr. Camping. It happened to be he also was also influenced by the family radio and all that. And I really like his teaching style because he's also, you know, like aligned with mine. So he's very technical. He do a lot of word, you know, Greek word study, you know, etymology, and try to find the reconciled meaning for actually word. So, because you know, obviously that time actually I just listened. You know, I like his teaching, but it was kind of on and off. It was not very into it. I think it's partly because you know, because my life was also was kind of a mess at that time, so I couldn't actually do much. You know, I was, you know, couldn't actually focus. So so then, you know, I was listening on and off. So then after I moved out by myself, that's when I probably just still remember or whatever, but and then I looked up, looks like he's still doing the teaching and all that, so I started listening to him again. So, still very solid teaching. I like it. And then I believe is, 2017, that's a Memorial Day, actually, around that holiday. You know, Brother Zane, actually, he hosts the conference in California. He used to, you know, in Buffalo, New York, and he moved to California. So he hosts the conference. So, and then I went. Right, because I was telling most people, because looking back, if you think, if I haven't actually separated with my wife, I wouldn't go to that conference. So that's basically just how, you know, amazingly how God actually works, how God actually, you know, arranges things. And then you think you made a decision, actually, and then you just follow the, you know, the path, right? So I went to the conference. So it was a great conference. So the two key things actually I learned from that conference. The first one is actually the Trinity is not a biblical doctrine, and then another one is the resurrection did not happen on Sunday, but it happened on Saturday. Right. So, but obviously, you know, especially like to prove from a Bible, like why it actually happened on Saturday, is a great access actually to see. How you need to treat the Word of God, and then, you know, to see the precision, you know, to see the, you know, the accuracy of the Word. So, obviously, those are great, actually, truths, and also, at the same time, actually, my belief, you know, in that this is the Word of God is greatly strengthened, right? So that's actually, so after the conference, I come back, and obviously, because you know, Brother Zane, so he has been teaching, you know, he has been teaching throughout all the years, even though, you know, before that conference, I, you know, haven't actually, I can kind of stop actually listen to him, but he has been teaching for, you know, throughout that year. So, and then after the conference, obviously, I was greatly blessed from a spiritual point of view. So I from that point of view, I haven't stopped actually because we have a online fellowship group. So he's, you know, we're doing the, every Sunday we do kind of online worship and teaching. So it's been a great blessing since then. So, but after come back from the conference, so even though because he's teaching, because I haven't listened to him for many years, so I was kind of just because the conference is right before that is I plugged back in, right? So, and then after the conference, he started teaching also the two gospels, right? So the gospel of circumcision and, you know, the gospel of uncircumcision, right? So that's also a great eye-opening to me, right? Because because I know we are, it's the same thing, like, you know, like Phil mentioned, it's something we read many times, like, you know, obviously how many times we read, even King James Bible, right? So it's the gospel of, you know, circumcision, the gospel of uncircumcision, right? It never registered, right? You know, that's a great point there, right? So, and then, so we'll continue, so I continue to listen every week, right? So he, you know, he's doing the teaching every week. But to me, I think it's probably not enough, just because now I'm actually alone, right? Now my, actually, the, you know, the faith in the Word of God is strengthened, right? So I actually want more, right? So so obviously I want to, you know, also just look myself. So I don't remember exactly detail, but just one day I was looking at YouTube random. I found a random guy. I don't even remember his name or what he's doing. But I remember somewhere in his message, either in the description or the message, he mentioned about Concordant Publishing, and then there's a website on, you know, on that. So then I get on the website. You know, that's basically, that's another sort of a big change. So that's basically when I get there, I basically attached to that. I started reading, you know, everything, you know, on the website, and then obviously, and then obviously once I read, you know, what A.E. Nock actually wrote, I mean, you know, he's my favorite, always the favorite writer. He, you know, he's just has deep understanding of the word, you know, he, you know, but, you know, explanation, the writing, the word he used, the style, it, you know, it just instantly actually attached to that. So that's when I think my finally was able to actually to have a full picture of who God is, right? So, and, you know, and also, you know, finally has a understanding of, you know, God doesn't need anything from us, right? So basically, so obviously eventually he will actually achieve actually to have our heartfelt adoration and love. But just from anything else, right? He doesn't need anything from us, right? That's basically, you know, obviously among other things. So I think that's actually, and with all that, and not only everything kind of fit now, but also I think I'm getting more and also better understanding of the gospel itself, right? And not, you know, the and then the basis, right? You know, of our gospel is basically the, you know, the death, entombment, and the resurrection of Christ, and then there's blessings after the right. That's basically where our celestial allotment to the blessings, and, you know, and then, you know, ruling, you know, in celestials with him for the, you know, the next eon, all that. So, and that I think is, I mean, obviously it's probably my journey, but obviously, and really just, you know, all glory to God, and, you know, see this as basically God's meticulous hand, you know, guide every step of the way, and be here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
That was a long and winding road. I mean, all our walks are long and winding road, and in my opinion, when you found the Concordant Publishing concern, you found the mother load. If anybody does not know about the Concordant Publishing concern, we're gonna take a short break here, but go to concordant.org. That's the mother load. And what I like what John was saying was that he's a logical guy. He studied the sciences and electrical engineering and these technical truths. And I remember how happy I was when I found out that God was logical. It's such a relief, because in Christianity, it's not logical. And when you question their illogical beliefs, they tell you, well, it's just a mystery. You just can't understand it. Just believe it. Shut up. Believe it and shut up. But when you have an inquiring mind like yours and mine, we want things to make sense. And when I found a Concordant Publishing concern in 1986, really, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I just looked at their catalog. Some of the titles just blew my mind. And when I started reading A.E. Nock, he was so drop-dead logical. And then it hit me. The revelation of the eon was, oh, my God, God is logical. God is logical. And he speaks to us in sensible ways where we can understand. And it makes sense. This plus this plus this equals this. And it was so different than Christianity. And so when I found that, like, that's the mother load of truth. I ordered all the Concordant material in 1986. Some people think that A. Enoch is hard to read. I love the guy. To me, he just puts so, he packs so much. He says more in one sentence than any book in the Christian bookstore says in the entire book. And I always saw my role, like I just read every single book that they wrote, and I read most of Unsearchable Riches magazine. And I'll just say this briefly, then we'll take a break. But I always thought that my role was to, I always thought Concordant as DOS. You know, the operating system behind your computer is DOS. You remember in the old days before Windows, it was just a black screen and you had to type in commands? And who wants to do that? But that's, so I looked at myself as, well, I need to put a happier face on this truth. So I consider myself like Windows. I'm Windows. I'm the introduction to the Concordant Publishing Concern. I have happy little icons. You double click. Ooh, that's fun. That's fun. But behind it is DOS. Don't make no mistake. I might be Mr. Fun and Games and Mr. Showbiz, but behind it, of course, the material is real. But I thought it was needed for people who couldn't read that complex writing to put a little happy face on. So you double click on the happy face, and there you go. Thank you for that, sir. Let's take a break, and then we'll have Greg, and we're going to do a quick Q&A, or as long as you want it to be. I don't even know what time it is. Anybody?
3:04.
What?
3:04.
Okay, let's take a break, and then, yeah, we're going to go till 5, and then we'll take it after that. Thank you.